petition number 11386, rule 2.
Miss Price, reel 2. You were saying that the airships were useful for convoys?
Yes, convoy and anti-submarine patrol, yes.
What kind of armaments did the airships carry then when they were going out on anti-submarine?
Lewis gun.
Just a Lewis gun?
Yes, and a couple of bombs.
What size of bomb would they be? Quite light?
I'm not sure.
You've just found out what size of bomb they were carrying. Yeah.
Yes.
265-pound bombs, you said?
265-pound bombs and a Lewis gun, yes. Their theoretical endurance in the air was 17 hours.
What determined their...
But they often did 8-hour patrols. And a capable speed of 45 miles an hour, subject, of course, to the wind.
What determined their endurance in the air?
Well, patrol, I suppose. But you see, there are very few aeroplanes. They could stay in the air much longer than an aeroplane.
So did they often come back without ever having dropped their bombs or fired their machine guns?
Must have done, yes.
Armistice Day occurred when you were at Loose Bay, did it?
Yes.
What happened on that day, do you remember?
Lots of things.
Can you describe it?
Your colleague has a drawing of my impressions of that day for copying.
Why? What happened?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Yes, you were saying it's 11 o'clock in the morning.
11 o'clock in the morning, we heard sounds of revelry. Sue and the men were marching in procession around the station, headed by an impromptu band consisting mostly of tin cans, and an equally impromptu drum major twirling a broom. He was accompanied by somebody trundling a barrow. Dinner was graced by a visit from the orderly officer, supported, literally, for he was very drunk, by a colleague. After dinner, we found that one of the men in the Met hut had tied a balloon to the top of the mast. And some of the officers had come out of the mess and opened fire on it with guns and revolvers. They not only burst the balloon, but they also punctured the vein and the air pipe connected with it, which put the Anemo Biograph out of action. The Anemo Biograph was the instrument that registered the wind pressure and direction. Well, most of us went off into the town in the afternoon.
Was the town called Loose Bay?
No, Stranraer, 7 miles away. We found the CO surrounded by a cheering crowd, whom he was assuring that he wanted them to enjoy themselves, that half could go into the town. Wisely, perhaps, he did not specify which half, so everybody went. Well, we went into the town and then, there was nothing special going on there, so we came back again. Well, there were a lot of hijinks up when we got back to the station, so...
So the citizens in Stranraer weren't really celebrating on the
street? I didn't notice anything special there, no. I said here the station was in a state of mild disorder. The officers had disappeared And if a leader had appeared, there would perhaps have been some wild doings. As it was, the men were just playful. On the landing ground, there was a big bonfire. And when the OC airships appeared on the scene, he was suddenly collared from behind, hoisted Holdershire and carried round the fire amid loud cheers, mingled with some rude remarks about the adjutant. After that, everything was pretty quiet.
Had the German surrender come as a surprise to you?
No, I don't think so. I think we've been expecting it for a few days.
Did you expect to be demobilised immediately?
Well, no, I hadn't thought about it. Well, of course, there was an awful lot of trouble about that in the First War.
This is why I asked you.
You probably know.
Was there trouble amongst you and your comrades?
No. We were a very small number, only about 200 of us. There was no real trouble there.
Because I noticed it was about 10 months before you were demobilised.
It was before. I think I was a bit slower. Perhaps if I made myself a nuisance, I could have got out. But there are other chaps who just got as much right as I had to be demobilised.
So people didn't feel restless about the slowness of the procedure?
Well, they did, but not to the extent of making trouble. No, it's gone off much more peacefully after the Second War. Demobilisation.
Because 1919 was supposed to be a notoriously disturbed year for strikes and so on.
Yes, I don't know about strikes, but this is the police strike, I think, wasn't it?
Did you come
across... But of course, in the First World War, the army particularly had a very bad time indeed, and they're anxious to get out straight away, of course, you can understand it. And it wasn't, I think I made some remarks on that point. After all, men had been called up for the duration of the war, and the war was over. Those who, like myself, had attested under the Derby scheme had been given a written assurance that in no case would they be retained for more than 6 months after the termination of hostilities. Any thinking person knew that several million men could not be absorbed into civilian employment at once, but nobody seemed to think of putting this point to the men. Instead, it seemed that every MP, anxious to get a little cheap popularity, and every newspaper that wished to increase its circulation by posing as a soldier's friend, clamoured for instant demobilisation. At one time, men could get demobilised on showing that they had jobs to go to, irrespective of how long they had been in the service. This caused an outcry on behalf of those who had volunteered in 1914, which resulted in thousands of them being released, whether they had jobs to go to or not. Well, that was my impression anyway. It wasn't very well handled.
Was it difficult for the RAF at Loose Bay to keep you all occupied in the 10 months in which you were waiting to be demobilised?
Well, as far as the Met went, it made no difference. We still carried on our duties as before. Except that we didn't go on duty at night. All the rest of the station shut down. In the end, the chaps were simply maintaining the station. That was all.
Sweeping up,
and so on. The two or three chaps in the office and the stores and the cooks and so on—they were simply taking in each other's washing, as it were.
I think you were saying that there was one fatal accident when you were at Isle of Grain.
Yes, the seaplanes, they were launched from slipways running down into the sea. And they were attended by a group of men wearing, they're pushed in on trolleys, of course. And there were several men in waders who went and pushed them in. And then they would start up the engine and take off. But in this case, the officer started up the engine before the men got clear. I think some of them went down on their faces in the water. But one of them jumped out sideways and he went over the slipway into the deeper water and his waders filled and he was drowned. After that, they were given lifeboats.